Pastor Carlton Lynch, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So could you describe for a bit just what you're seeing out there in the community? Why is there a need for a violence prevention program?
You know, I think for some odd reason, young people have decided to take matters in their own hand. There's always going to be a sense of trouble. There's always going to be a sense of problems. But I think that the church and different leaders in the community have to figure out a way to bridge the gap between young people and decisions. I say all the time that you can choose whatever you want to choose to do in life. You just can't choose the consequence of your choice. So I think we got to navigate and move in like a gang itself and try to get young people to figure out a different way and a different method to handle life's choices.
And what sort of violence is occurring specifically in Fort Wayne during these warmer months? Is it exclusively gang violence?
You know, I have to be honest, I don't really like to say that. And I know a lot of people, you know, love to say it's all gang violence. And I don't think no one really knows the answer. Mm-hmm. I think the police may have a different insight than what community may know. But for me to say it's all gang violence, I don't know. I do know Fort Wayne has a major drug problem in drug trafficking. And, you know, just a couple of days ago, you know, it was some young kids, I think 14, 15 years old, over in the Well Street area that end up getting into a gun battle because of a drug transaction. So I think just because you're selling drugs don't necessarily mean you're in a gang. And just because you're in a gang don't necessarily mean you're selling drugs.
Right. Does the regularity of homicides or violence normalize it for a community, especially young people? Meaning they see it over and over and they just get used to it. They get a little maybe desensitized.
Absolutely. I think we've got immune, you know, what really started, if I can just say this, what really started me on this path. I was at a homicide scene about 3 years ago, and it was some young kids while it was a dead body lying on the ground. It was some young 12, 13-year-old kids, and they were just playing, hitting their friend, running, laughing, you know, almost that they become immune to. And I think if I was 12, 13 years old in my day, that would have messed me up almost for life. And I think that our community has got immune. We hear gunshots. We don't even rush and call the police anymore. It's because it's a norm.
What do you think the long-term implications are of becoming so used to such tragedies?
You know, I have to be honest with you. I don't know. I don't think it's anything that I could get used to.
So let's talk a little bit about your programming ideas. Just how will your program work? Tell us about your plans.
I don't believe that programs stop violence. I believe that relationships stop violence. I say all the time that you can't stop crime if you don't know any criminals. And on many occasions, I think we have become reactive rather than being proactive. None of us can stop violence, because if we had the answers, we would have used them a long time ago. If we had the answers on Memorial Day, I wouldn't have been at the hospital at 1:30 at night grieving and holding and, you know, encouraging a family that just lost a loved one. So when people, you know, even get on television, even on the radio and social media, like their program is it, is a lie. I don't have all the answers. I pastor and on a daily basis, I'm asking the Lord, you know, what is it that I can do to help? Because do I believe that violence is going to stop as a whole? No. And so what I decided to do is just to become more proactive rather than reactive. So I'm not going to wait for a march. I'm not going to wait for somebody to die and then navigate the churches together that we're going to march and we're going to take our streets back and we're going to no justice, no peace and stop the violence. Yeah. Really, if you want to stop the violence, you have to stop the silence. And that meaning, a lot of people in our neighborhood knows exactly what's going on. They know who, they know where, they know what. But because they feel that they're not going to be protected, they're not going to stand up and speak out against violence and who it was.
So you and your colleagues are forging and cultivating these relationships. How do you specifically hope to put them to work?
One thing we're going to do on June the 22nd at 2 p.m., I'm partnering with the Boys and Girls Club of Fort Wayne. And what we're going to do, we're going to do an event that's entitled From Talking to Walking. We talk about violence, but we're going to walk into those violent areas, into those places where homicides had taken place. What we're doing there is we're going to disperse into groups, and we're going to meet families at these spots. These families are the ones that have lost loved ones because of the act of violence. And they're, in return, going to speak to the kids from a family, from a lost point of view, that we lost our loved ones because of this, and tell their story, that they were 22 years old. They were on their way to college. They was trying to go to barber school. And so that's one of the things that we're doing this summer. That's the very first thing, trying to get those kids that still yet 12 and 13 and 15 years old, trying to get them before they reach the 17, 18 year old of age.
Right. So these are area kids that'll be in attendance. What do you hope that they get out of the experience?
I hope that they can see reality. Yeah. Like, this is not just something we heard on the bus. That's the mama right there. She buried her son, and hope, you know, to get them that even during this summer, when they see certain things, they can feel sure enough and safe enough to bring about a conversation with somebody in authority. That this is what they heard. This is what they know. We're trying to build relationships, and I think that's the only way we can build a community is through relationships.
This isn't the first attempt that you've made to kind of reach out to the community, do this street-level work. What else have you done to address the issue of violence? What other tactics have you tried in this community?
Getting in and meeting with gang leaders and really trying to diffuse situations. We do that still now. Mm-hmm. We was in Eden Green last week. That's one of our strongest tactics that our church and myself has done in Fort Wayne.
To an extent, crime and violence does pervade all of the city, but there is a concentration in Southeast. Why do you think so much crime and violence is concentrated in just one segment of the city?
Well, let me say this. You know, when you look at downtown and look how it looks, yeah, and the presentation of it, you know, whether you have a problem with someone or not downtown, if altercation do, you know, if it do happen, just knowing where you are, you know, says, I'm not going to get you here, but I may get you. It's because of, believe it or not, it's environmental. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's why I really think that even in this upcoming election, that our next mayor has to really, you know, provide a scenery when it relates to Southeast that says that you can't do this here. So I think that our city government has to build up Southeast. You know, it's down. It's degrading. You know, it's not a sense of I'm proud that this is where I live.
What do you think is the biggest systemic influencer in the lives of people participating in or surrounded by violence? What is the root cause of some of this violence that we see that in a lot of ways seems to be getting worse?
You know, if I had to give my answer, I would just say this. People and these young people are not happy with themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, let me answer it this way. I went to Baltimore. I went to Ferguson. You know what? I look around and these kids are not mad in Ferguson about Mike Brown. They don't even know him. You know, these kids are not upset in Baltimore about Freddie Gray. Mm-hmm. They ain't never met him. They're mad about their current situation. And when you really don't have any hope, when you wake up in the morning with no hope, and when you go to bed at night with no hope, there's no telling what you'll do. And so we have to figure out a way to give them hope that they got something to look forward to.
Can we break that down a little bit more? A lot of the arguments I commonly hear, lack of jobs or training, lack of male role models, how do those things play in?
I think it all plays in, but I never would take a one-shot approach.
Sure.
Meaning that you can go down Hannah Street and say, we're hiring, you know, we got 200 jobs available, all you got to do is come. Mm-hmm. Listen, you're still going to have a shooting this weekend. It's not going to stop. It's not going to halt, you know, but I do believe we need the Urban League in place bringing jobs. We need the NAACP dealing with issues when it relates to social injustice. Mm-hmm. But you do also need this component saying that you have to get out and get your hands on these young people individually, because people never change in groups. They change as individuals.
Pastor Carlton Lynch, thank you again so much for your time today.
Thank you.